What an honor. What an honor. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in trash. Who's sufficient? Thank you very much for the invite. Thank you all for listening so well. I've been in numerous situations, as I'm sure all the pastors have and preachers have, that it has not always been that way. If looks could kill. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter. Well, if you want to turn to 1 Kings chapter 16, actually the message is going to begin in 1 Kings chapter 22. So I'm just going to do an overview. I'll try to keep the introduction short as possible. We're going to look at Ahab, a lesson in God's absolute sovereignty. Ahab, a lesson in God's absolute sovereignty. I'm sure you remember who Ahab was, the husband of Jezebel. They both were wicked, evil folks. They were like us by nature. But in 1 Kings, in chapter 16, was where we first meet this king, Ahab. And it says in verse 29 of 1 Kings chapter 16, "And the eighth year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, that did evil in the sight of the Lord above," this is kind of a character trait, "above all that were before him." Above all that were before him. Chapter 17, we see Ahab, a famine is sent because of Ahab's evil ways. Chapter 18, the godly prophet Obadiah hid prophets from this wicked man, this vile, hid from his vile wife Jezebel. In chapter 18, in verse 17, we see Ahab's disdain for the prophet of God, Elijah. Verse 18, truth never bows to error or lies or falsehoods. Elijah stood his ground. Chapter 19 of 1 Kings, Jezebel seeks Elijah's life, which is, she's trying to murder him. Her sins will find her out. And then if you look in 2 Kings chapter 6, we see her death. Chapter 20 of 1 Kings. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. We see his lies and deception. And then a godly prophet stands up and orders Israel to protect itself against this Gentile king. We see a war, a victory, and Ahab's disobedience on the heels of God's sent victories. This is just a Rolodex of this man's life. Chapter 20, his death is prophesied. Look with me at chapter 21 and verse 19. Chapter 21 and verse 19. "Thou shalt speak unto him," that is, Ahab, "saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And as thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus shall the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine." So his death is prophesied. And in the rest of chapter 21, there's more sin and rebellion just piled up. The hoary-headed sinner, the scripture talks about, just piled up one after another. And then in chapter 22, verses 1 through 4, they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel, and it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, he's a godly man, godly king, but he's a king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel, Ahab. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we shall steal and take it, not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Will you go with me to battle Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, and my people as your people, and my horses as thy horses. So Ahab persuades the godly king Jehoshaphat to go to war with him against Syria. Verses 5 and 6. Then Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel, Ahab, gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and he said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Jehoshaphat, suspicious of these 400 prophets who were in the back pocket of this wicked king. Well, just look at what he says in verse 7. The king and Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we may inquire of him? Then in verse 15 through 27, Ahab reluctantly pulls out Micaiah out of prison for telling the truth. I wonder sometimes how far we are from that. And he asks him what's going to happen. Are they going to have victory? He tells them the truth, Micaiah. Ahab throws him back into prison and punches him in the face for good measure, for once again standing for the truth of God. Basically, what he says is found in verse 28, in verse 28. He says, and Micaiah said, If thou return at all in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, Hearken, O people, every one of you. So he says, basically, the prophet of God, he told Ahab, If you make it back alive from battle, I'm no prophet. Now look at this. Look at this treachery in verse 30. The king of Israel, Ahab, he said to Jehoshaphat, the other king, I will disguise myself and enter into battle. But you go ahead and put on the regal robes, the royal robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. But the enemy, the king of Syria, commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, Fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. So he had commanded them, if you see somebody driving around in a chariot in regal attire, you attack them. Verse 32, it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, they thought, surely this is the king of Israel, this is Ahab, and they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. The Lord hears the cries of the righteous. And it came to pass that the captains of the chariots, verse 33, perceived that it was not the king of Israel, and they turned back from pursuing him. You would have thought they would have been just anybody that looked that important. God is so immaculately sovereign, they couldn't touch him. But here's our text, these several verses for tonight. And a certain man, drew a bow at a venture, and smote the king of Israel, Ahab, between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up on his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city and every man to his own country. So the king, Ahab, died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. In our last verse, and one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. Any man, verse 34, a certain man, that's us preachers, Jim, Lance, Tim, Alan, that's us. A certain man, there's not even a name. We labor and preach and preach. When we're gone. Just a certain man. Just a nobody. That's us preachers. He says he drew back the bow. Just pulled it back. That's the gospel. That's what we preach. Just pull it back. At a venture. That word is in the margin. If you've got a marginal reading, is in simplicity. Are we not to proclaim the simplicity that's in Christ? And in another rendering is innocence. We're not to take control. We just preach. We're not responsible for the effects, the results. And I'm guilty. I've been guilty of this in my earlier ministry. You get aggravated at somebody and you may shoot at them. We're not to do that. That's not God honoring. Just draw it back. No aim, no real direction, just up in the air towards the battle fray. God will hit the mark. God will hit the mark. And it hit someone between the seams of his armor. God never misses. Now, if you look at this in the Greek or the Hebrew, and they, you know, scholarly folks, they say it basically got the helmet, it hit right here. I mean, just right where there was a seam. It didn't hit just anyone. Specifically, a king called Ahab. All hail sovereign and absolute purpose of grace in Christ. I'm wounded, he said, yes, and that mortally, with no means of recovery. Here's our lesson. And this is for everybody here, obviously. We may try to hide our sins from God, but he views everything. What are you hiding from? Why are you hiding from? There's no escape. There's no escape. If we've seen the justice of God, you can't do it. All is, as the scripture says, naked and undone, guilty, unclean. We're fallen in Adam. Matter of fact, we're so bad. It says in Genesis 6 that every thought of our imagination is evil continually. From the head to the foot, no soundness. No soundness. Secondly, we see a certain man, a preacher. a godly person used of God to tell sinners of the Savior. It's not really important. Not of any human notice. And I will take my seat below any of these men. And it's such an honor to be able to tell you what the Lord has taught me. I will be less than the least. I will be back, because it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It's what's being preached. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Yet God is pleased to use this certain one, a certain man, to tell of the holiness and righteousness and greatness of God in the person of Jesus Christ, which we've heard. Scott Richardson said, a preacher is a nobody who tells everybody about somebody who could save anybody. We like to skip ahead. A preacher is a nobody. A nobody. I did a funeral, assisted in a funeral, been a while back, and they didn't really know me. It was over in Springfield, Missouri. And as somebody wanted to know who I was, reading the scripture, and I said, I'm nobody. I'm just a guy from Jackson. I wish I meant that more. This is not a competition. I get nervous, I get concerned, but this is not a competition. Nobody. Ephesians says that after you heard the word of truth, after you believed, after you heard the word of truth. In Acts chapter 8, an Ethiopian was reading the book out loud. Philip, do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless some man tell me? Isaiah 53:1, who hath believed our report, our hearing, or announcement? Who hath believed that? And I'll tell you, I do get discouraged with the few folks that I see coming to genuinely know Christ. But I remember reading an article by Jack Shanks, and he was talking about Isaiah 53, and he says, who hath believed our report? Nobody, nobody. And then he said he looked out, and he just kind of starts tearing up, and he said, you believe it. You believe it. How amazing. What grace bestowed upon us. Oh my, may we rejoice that God stooped to our level to bring this message of grace and peace. And I tell you, as I tell our folks, may we be happily found in attendance while it's being preached. There's nothing, and the streaming, the phones, what a blessing to live in a day and age, but I'm telling you, there is no substitute. Shaking my hand, I'm a touchy-feely kind of guy. I need that hug this morning. I need it. May we be happily found every time it's preached, as we can. I know things happen. I understand that. But oh, to be in the presence when the gospel hymns are sung, when the word of God is read. I figure if I get up here and mess up, at least you heard the truth from Tim as he read. That's what we're doing. This is fully canonized. The canonization of scriptures is complete. All we are doing is telling back. That's all we're doing. Now the third point, we get to this arrow, this the gospel spoken. It's drawn at a venture. Woe to that preacher who tries to, by intelligence or wisdom or his own cunning, to direct the arrow. Spurgeon said one time he was walking down the street and there was a guy, a drunk, in the street. And when Spurgeon walked by, he said, hey, aren't you Spurgeon? He says, yes, I am. He goes, well, I'm one of your converts. What do you think of that? He says, you look like one of mine, but not one of the Lord's. We don't want a bunch of us running around. We want genuine, true salvation. And that's only had in Christ, in Christ alone. Someone may say, well, what are the odds of such a thing ever happening? What are the odds of that arrow being just shot and hitting and killing this guy? What are the odds? Humanly, never, not very much. Humanly, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We're in Joshua on Wednesday. And they're getting ready to go into save Rahab the harlot, Jericho. And they're just walking around, walking around, walking around, walking around, making noise. That's what we do. Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, walk around again, make some noise. Declare, like you read. Not with the wisdom of men's words. No, Simply preach the truth. Each arrow in God's quiver shall find its mark, no matter how impossible the mark. This, brethren, is real and truth and absolutes. Tim's always mentioned he loves absolutes. The more I grow older. I agree. I love God's absolutes. Because tomorrow or Monday, when you go to work, there's no absolutes. But here, which speaks of our refuge, there's this absolute. Absolute. God will and is having his way among the children of men always. Hard hearts are being removed. Stiff necks are broken, and pliable and soft ones placed in his place, whether it's done to a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl. Who can resist his will? Turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And the Lord answered me. He's talking to Habakkuk, the prophet of God, the preacher of God, and said, write the vision, make it plain, upon tables that he may run that readeth it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Just like that arrow. But at the end it shall speak and shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And you young folks, I don't want to wait. I don't like to wait, and I'm old. Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This arrow, the gospel, the free and sovereign grace of God, shall find its mark and bring the expected result that Jehovah has purposed, decreed, and designed. We just simply pull back. Ruin, redemption, regeneration. You've heard that. I know you've heard that from this pulpit. Ruined by the fall. Fallen, we cannot get up. We cannot help ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Redemption by blood, the righteousness that we need is supplied in Christ. And regeneration by the Spirit. Ruin, redemption, regeneration. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Shall shall. I like those too. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We don't have to be marksmen. Just let it fly. Just let it fly. Back to our text. Lastly, in verse 37, the king died. He died. And we're all going to die of a certainty. I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm not trying. We're going to die. Either in mercy or in wrath. This gospel we preach, this arrow that we shoot, it's a savor of life unto life or death unto death. God will and must kill our old nature through his declared truth. And he will remove the old heart and give us a new heart as salvation comes. This didn't happen here, but that's what happens when it hits its mark. What am I saying? I'm saying every gospel preacher wants to hear the words in verse 34, I'm wounded. I'm wounded. That's what we want to hear. And we want to see in verse 37, the old flesh die. That's what we want. It's a lot different what's being preached today. I was told that Rolf Barnard said, if I'm going to introduce you to my God, I'm going to have to kill your God. My, what a salvation. What a salvation had, what a salvation wrought in the Lamb of God, the great martyr Lamb. Jim, when we were back there and the men were, Ron was reading and praying, he made a comment and it reminded me of a story. He said, it's good. He said, it's good. It's good, it's all good is what you said. Well, I will try to tell a story that I remember Jack Shanks telling me, and I'll try to be as accurate as I can. In tribal Africa, probably 1800s or so, there was a chieftain, and his right-hand man was a good guide, and he loaded his armament. And the chieftain loved to hunt. They'd go out, and he knew the territory, that his best friend knew the territory. He knew the scout. He would find, they had to get to kill every day, enough food for the tribe. Well, one day, when he got everything loaded, went out, and the chieftain saw something, the flintlock backfired, blew his thumb right off. This right-hand man, this guide, also years before, a missionary came through and was emphasizing Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. And so he latched onto that, and everything that happened, all he could say was, it is good. It is good. And that's what he would say. They'd go hunting, they'd see a successful hunt. It is good. Well, when this happened, he said, it is good. And the chieftain didn't agree. And he put them, as we would call, house arrest. Put them in the hut. You're not going anywhere. Angry with them. Went back out several months later hunting with a new guide. Didn't come back. Did not come back. And then the chieftain comes wandering into the village by himself. He had a hunting party with him. He walked straight over to the hut, opened the door, and embraced his friend. Because they went in, they got too far out of their territory and went into a cannibalistic tribe. And this tribe believed they ate, but you had to have all your digits. And he lost his thumb. And so he says, yes, it is good. You bet it is. So I implore you, don't run, don't hide. God sees everything. Pray to God that he would shoot you dead to self and to sin and create within you a new life, a new heart, and that more abundantly. Flee towards Christ, not away. Lord bless you.